county builders, he's the worst. Don't build up the guys that stay. The fact they're staying is not complaining. You know, they're not gonna build down off either.
Right.
Don't build up any amendment stay, build up some amendment leave.
And commend.
Build up amendment leave and the new, the changes that are being right there. McKinsey thing is a bit best for the state guy.
Okay.
That McKinsey thing is a typical example. He's a man that is, will bring an entirely fresh look for the state of Maryland, which it could be, to this, and since a great part of foreign policy is going to have to do with economic affairs, particularly the new relationship with the European Union. And the common market with, the growing economic, competition with Japan. And then that new breakthrough with the Soviet Union and China. That the state, that economics is going to become an increasingly important part. And the president considers the Casey appointment one of the most important appointments he's made in this entire period. One of the most important appointments he's made. People have responsibility for saying that the State Department or the State Department is ready to conduct its economic affairs in a way that is, that are, you know, people can create a job, you know, talk about Casey.
Yeah. Okay. I had a good meeting with him yesterday morning. He is really outstanding.
He's gonna be a.
I mean, I really, I like
to be smart. You let him be open to war like something.
I like this before, but he really understands.
But he made this point, you know, going in the economic, just getting out of the way like a snake. That's right.
Stay there for a while.
And he said, don't put out when I'm coming in to chop up the department. Put out when I'm coming to handle economics, and then I'll start moving around.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what to do.
Okay. I'm saying, we're going to announce the budget meeting then, of course.
I won't be attending that.
Well, I'm going to say you are.
I'm going to say you are. You said you were going to do it.
You said it was important. Yeah, so it doesn't. I'll just say you did.
Kind of on the back after it finished.
Right. You don't need to.
I'll just tell me something. What is the, you handle the Brennan to, he handled it himself.
He sure did.
Well, he was great on that.
That's what I said.
And that's just the guy. That's the guy. The Buckley.
I'm not happy. I'm not happy with him.
No.
Buckley was ecstatic. Buckley put out a hell of a good what you said.
He said it's time for some good, solid, like a hard hat is.
Okay. If they ask about a hard hat, say the president believes it's much better to have a hard hat than a soft hat. Okay. I'm just saying that's my quote. I told somebody that last night, somebody was bitching about a hard hat. You want to have a hard hat? I said, yep. Like, hell of a lot better to have a hard hat than a soft hat.
He apparently made a very moving statement about you yesterday at an AFL CIO meeting where one of Rockefeller's people was there.
Brennan.
Yeah, and Brennan made it.
Well, he's just great because he talks, you know, he's not afraid to be.
But
he's
like, he's got to be great.
Yeah, but he's like all the Democrats we brought in, or the only other two, Connor Moynihan. They're both not afraid to be emotional. Not afraid of
not afraid to go out and speak for the president, not afraid to do it suddenly.
They say, I love
everybody else is concerned about whether the press is going to think.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we're overstating this or plenty of the press.
They're part of
the economy. Money and get out and just not brash and say things, which is the reason. And Democratic presidents are built up. Republican presidents are talked down because our people are always brown-nosing the goddamn press when the press are always kicking us in the ass. of Grand Martin.
Oh, we can do that before we get set for Christ's sakes. Grand Martin, we're gonna have to do that water service one, if you will. The water service, I don't think the town will ever do this.
If you do that, well, or you could take Macomber's stuff.
Yeah, Macomber has to go out, he should be an ambassador.
Because he's a real asset, man, Martin.
What is Macomber's job? Deputy Treasurer, Secretary for Administration, or that's where something like that.
But announce Jake's, yes.
Well, he might be under secretary for administration. That, apparently there is one.
There is no under secretary.
That's been one we were misled on. But we were told that they.
Grand Martin would work, if he would work. If he, at least he's a loyalist.
Oh, he owns you.
He is the youth, because I'm gonna kick the old parts out, and he's old.
Well, he isn't against the youth movement. He was savaged by the Foreign Service. You rescued him from being administrator of.
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I want him brought back, and I want Casey to have a chance. Let Casey see if he like gets along with it. And then if he comes in, and he gets Casey to do it, and chop up.
Well, I told Casey that the he can look there on the Macomber thing would be his decision to make.
No, I want him out.
No, I got the replacement for that job. Casey's got to have his man in there.
Macomber is there, been there too long. He's got to get his ass up.
But I just wanted to give him just 15 minutes with his fellow cook. So that he doesn't have the wrong idea of what he meant. God, that State Department has leaked the content of our meetings last week. They're going to have an unbelievable problem with the movie.
Who leaked it?
Well, I thought you weren't getting copies from State Department.
Well, but Sullivan was in the meeting and said he agreed. He was saying we had an agreement, neither side would reveal the content. They've kept it up to now, and I savaged them last week. Because they leaked something.
Will you please call and ask who the hell put that out?
They've got it under Beecher's head deadline, but Dick Beecher couldn't possibly have gotten it at the Pentagon. They don't have it.
The Pentagon doesn't have it. I saw the paper this morning.
On the deal.
I know I was given in on this or that, but other points are in now. I don't know who the hell put that out.
That's true, but it's. But
I know it's true, but the point is, Bob, you remember I gave you instructions the day before yesterday to call State Defense and there's been no talk about Vietnam. I want to know, and I need a goddamn report after this JCS meeting about this. Or from now on, nothing goes. And I mean, and Sullivan doesn't sit in any meetings. I have got to know. Where that Beecher does probably have checked the White House, and he hasn't been there. He hasn't been in or around the White House for 3 years. Just say that. You understand?
They'll, you don't want to build on that because they'll use Beecher as an excuse. That obviously, that's one of the standard times for it. Someone gave it to someone else, and they lost it to Beecher to cover it.
Beecher couldn't have done it.
Okay.
No, I think
that's. I'm just saying, I don't know that, but the argument I'm saying. Then there's something to say, obviously, I know it came from State. Only Sullivan knew about it, therefore, it had to
run. Right, it could have come from our people, but it absolutely did not.
I don't think it came from them. On this case, from NSC, I think we got rid of most of those people.
Nobody of our people.
Why is that we got rid of the price? There can't be any more.
Well, but my, even my.
There's left of it.
Yeah, but even my. My disloyal guys never leaked to the papers. I don't think we can find one leak that came out of my staff. They quit, but they didn't leak. He's got to hear from you that the only changes possible are the ones I discussed with him in Paris and discussed with him last time.
No, then he comes back with two big changes. What do I say? Those changes cannot
say,
be made.
Say everything we.
Although have. You're trying to work some of the things you discussed in Paris.
By indirect.
The framework of that, although they don't do anything with it.
By indirection. If you tell him that.
Well, he used the only significant thing, and I put very little emphasis on any sense. At the last of our meeting, he finally was saying, in a plaintive way almost, if in an indirect way,
We will try, Mr. President, but we will operate from very narrow margins next week. And they've already gotten a hell of a lot. They got 12 changes last week.
Yeah, but that doesn't amount to anything, Sheriff, on these 2 points.
Well, that's quite true.
I'm just arguing their point.
No, the DMZ.
I don't agree with their point.
The combination of the DMZ recognition for the neutrality of Laos and Cambodia, how the hell are they going to get into South Vietnam if they have to respect the DMZ, Laos and Cambodia?
Yeah.
11:30.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't give them a hell of a lot of time.
Well, I haven't got time, so I leave the helicopter leaves at 12, and everybody will be with the Joint Chiefs, so I just...
I sent you a paper. I think what you... There are two things to achieve. One is...
I'm going to start having my first meeting tomorrow, the day Laird leaves.
Good. Has Richardson been...
announced?
No, I mean, has he been told that there is direct contact?
President, I told him.
Good.
I said, I'm going to see the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, I'm going to see service secretaries, and I'm also going to see any one. I said, for example, a Navy guy gets out of line, I'm going to talk to him directly. I said, I want you to know, I'll inform you of it, but I've got to talk to some of these people right there, because I don't believe in big meetings, I'm man to man.
That's good.
And with Richardson Dawkins, and I understood. See, when people want a job, they make all sorts of concessions. Larry came in the other way around. They're running goddamn fast on that.
No, I think that's going to work out very well.
Chiefs.
On the Chiefs, I thought in order to...
See, Larry there, I can't say anything about how they're going to have to cooperate with Clemens at all.
No, I wouldn't talk, and I wouldn't talk much. I'd keep it to Vietnam. And I thought what the two major things you might say to them. One is, first of all, not to debrief their staff when they go back, because otherwise it would leak all over the place. Secondly, to tell, they have never been told about the agreement, and if you wanted to, I could give them a 5-minute summary.
Fine, fine.
So that
they'll be advocates, and then I'm going to say, now this is an agreement, and I want you to advocate it. I don't want to hear any more damn business where it is.
Now the second...
Westmoreland may be the one that stirred up this trouble, that's what I'm concerned about.
The second thing to stress, I think, is...
Rose came in this morning with a letter from the vice, and that came around, went through the circle, where the vice president forwarded to me from somebody with POWI, who said, don't give in on the subject until every last North Vietnamese is out of South Vietnam. So this is Agnew's line. I'm trying to get across a very simple point. I don't care about the little girl who sent the letter. I care a hell of a lot about the vice president, who should have, of course, brought that in. I want you to tell the vice, who's going to tell the vice president? He's intercepted. What are you going to tell him?
I'll tell him that I explained to him
the best deal we can get. And goddamn it, you've got to stand with it, and he whines and whimpers around, and there must be no undercutting of this agreement.
It would be a 2 more year effort. You could get them out if you blasted them maybe for 2 more years.
There's no way you could get them.
And for 2 years, and you'd have to pray that China...
Let me say that you've got a problem here. I'm sure you're aware of it. The commitment that I have made, that in the event this thing breaks out again, we will bomb again, also would require congressional approval. It would be awful
tough. Does it require congressional approval?
That's for the loot. I did have a point. You've got to point to the fact that the treaty has been broken, or this or that, or the other thing. You've got to have something. You're goddamn right.
I think we've got to say it's something.
Well, congressional approval could save the money. Appropriations.
I don't think we'll get congressional approval.
Well, then the commitment doesn't mean anything. You got my point? You see, here's the point, Henry. When you start, when we tell them, we'll start the war again in the event the North Vietnamese invade again. Congress is not going to approve it. Let's just face it. Now, we're doing this as a selling point for this guy, but I think we should be under no illusions about what the hell we're doing.
I think, Mr. President, is if we can bluff the North that you are going to start again, we're going to have peace. If they have any idea that you're not going to be able to do it, we're
going to... I understand. I'm simply telling you that in both cases, we're shooting blanks. So, we must be under no illusions. that you could not start this work and get public approval. You couldn't do it. And you know that.
I know, they may do this. If they really believe they're not gonna do it, we've gotta play it very hard.
You're missing the point.
No, I know, you were saying.
I am missing the point. My view is to play it very hard to the north and south, but we've got to know in our inner councils what the hell we're up against. And what we're up against is getting congressional approval for starting the work.
But one way to play it hard, Mr. President, would be the first violation in South Vietnam. We found the detritus out of the violator, even though it would create an uproar. I mean, that's a one-time attack, because if we overkill the first time, then they're going to be scared. But if we let them do salami tactics, I think it's going to be awful.
You can get away with that. You can get away with a hell of a bombing strike like that, a quick surgical strike.
That's
you couldn't get away, though, with just arms. Well, here we go again.
That I don't think is necessary. What is necessary is that we clobber one or two
bombs. I've got to get back to it.
Now, the second thing about the trees, and that is part of the game plan, is to tell them to be ready and to have standby plans for reacting to violations. And that
also,
this is not a part of
a standby plan in the event we don't get an agreement.
And that's the second thing.
Yeah. And
those are the two things I've
got. They're already in the second one, aren't they? But we don't get an agreement.
Yeah, I suppose.
That's the 4-day strike, the 7-day strike, and all the rest.
Yeah, they'll be there. They've got excavated things. Those would be the two measures that.
You may know no progress in the little moment.
Oh, no, I gave him two solutions that we are intercepting their cable. And he's reported incorrect. They're much less than what they asked you in the letter. And that's why it's important that they understand that what I told them in Paris and last night
is the absolute main point is this. Whether or not we should shoot the bigger bullet of my meeting with you at an earlier time. Now, I finessed it yesterday.
Let me explore that with them rather than you, because they may use it to delay.
If we are going to be delayed, my point is that instead of you going to sign on, this is to be the, that if you're going to sign on, I meet with you, and then you go on and on.
Well,
that's what I mean.
If you know ahead of time that he sent an agreement.
I told them that we won't go to the summit unless we know what's on the other side. We must have an agreement before I go. But the point is, do we want to do that? Now, you've got two chances to meet with you. We have to meet with him after it's all signed. The other thing would be to meet with him before and say, all right, this is our agreement. Now, Dr. Kissinger will go to Hanoi. Why do you go to Hanoi then? For what purpose? We've already signed the agreement. Why did you talk to me, Roy?
To Hanoi to talk about the post-war situation. What we will do there is to discuss.
All right. You talked a little fellow about that. Rather than having you go there, with the strict idea that there is not going to be any further changes, that the agreement is made.
I think it has a lot to be said.
He and I will meet.
Where
will
you
in that case, huh?
Where will you meet?
Why?
Well, it would have to be, it would have to be.
All right, go sign it.
The next 10 minutes, I wouldn't go sign it. My thoughts is if you ramp it down, it's rough, but.
Well, maybe it looks just the other way. Maybe that's what they need. No, it's maybe too dangerous, but why not Guam?
Guam is very possible.
Or Midway.
Guam is.
That's some significance. That's where it all began.
Is it possible anytime in the next 10 days?
I can go anyways, whatever has to be anyways, including Christmas or New Year's. I'm holding everything open.
That's too late. What is settlement? I mean, Christmas.
Too late. I'm just telling you that this is the most important thing they have on you. I can go tomorrow.
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for you.
We will meet before you go, but it has to be for the purpose of saying this is the agreement.
There's a lot to be said for that. A hell of a lot to be said.
Yeah, certainly may not be dark.
And I'll raise it with them.
But don't ever raise it with me, telling that you and me will work it out, huh?
There's a
to you if you do the early meeting?
No, because they might, I think they might have just put himself up. Midway of Guam.
Well, Guam's too far. Midway is right. It's easier for me. Guam's too goddamn far.
And Midway is the top of the planet, so.
Yeah, that's what we meant before. You know, Midway, that looks, it has symbolism. We meet at Midway before, and then afterwards, what would happen?
All you put is like Pog, Marcos.
To Midway, to the first meeting?
No, to the second meeting.
Second one, and when?
Then you, that would be after the signing.
But when, well, when after?
2 weeks after.
Well, you're getting close to the inauguration.
If I'm January 5th.
Well, the outside, where would that be?
That would have to do with America.
Well, if that's in America, then it's okay. I'd say San Clemente. And I would go somewhere there.
And then, I think that gets at the maximum symbolism.
Well, the chiefs are gonna be about, who is what to say?
I'm telling you, it'll be about 10 minutes, but.
Five minutes. What about that poll? I'm really pissed off at the league that accident, and I'm pissed off at the league of this. Right after we're in, to have this issue, you can't talk to anybody, even if you can't date it. Nobody knew about the accident with John Irwin and George Schultz, nobody. I don't think you can leave that, I think you've got to say, not to who the hell did ask for the interview, but I think smart, I know John did. But it could come out of treasure, that's my point. But John, I told him all that part. See?
Well, we'll find out.
You see?
Yeah.
But John likes to bring his people into the Eagles, you know, and so forth. And I understand that. It's a great thing, but goddamn it, Bob, you can't afford it when you're playing big games. You can't afford to have leaves.
For sure.
You don't see the
absolutely.
You don't see the enormity of this?
For sure.
It's terrible, man. Both. The people that leave stuff, that help hurt your negotiations. We have a little problem today. That tells me in a way. The Green Jacks.
Straight arm. You'll have a straight arm. You're going to talk.
got people, I want to get something out, we're having meetings up there.
We are.
We are, you know, have, I don't know how anyone wants, but, well, anyway, we're doing our best.
Yeah.
Now, you've got two or three things, have you got a fine position yet?
Yes, sir.
Is he gonna take what you can?
Oh, no, I don't have a position looking at that, I have roads
before the Saturday, and I was hoping to get that position.
I
haven't talked with Pat about her staff.
Sir.
No. I'm still gonna make the announcement of yours.
That's right. It should be separated.
Yeah. Now, with regard to fine, we ought to know it, because I don't think that can.
I think I would guess we're gonna have a fine, I'm gonna try and do it, but I think we may just be better off to let that float for now. We'll get it done, and that's.
You mean not announce that he's leaving?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But you're announcing Colson's leaving? Then what did you say, what does he say when he asks, what about her fine? Can't look at it.
Yeah, you're right.
But I don't want to get hurt at all.
Okay.
Why don't we say that hers?
He knows he's gone, that's, there's no question on that, he is working.
All right, why don't you do the process? Why don't you ask her, what does he feel, what's he want said?
Right.
And how he could say that he is considering another position in government. Why don't we just say that? Her, fine, well, he's considering another position in government. He may believe this position, he's considering another position in government. And then, of course, he can then decide to go outside, but then he's up. He will stay through the inauguration. Why don't you say that? He is considering another position in government. Very important position. And we'll have an announcement at a later date as to his plans. That's what I want to say about it. Right? Colson, you've got to cover it.
Right. Yeah. Incredible. economic leadership in town stuff. Judge Houston, what you're leading in your home town, sir.
Are we gonna meet there?
Yes, sir. It's about 10 people in total. If you'd like to move in, sir.
Better.
All right, sir. Get better than yours, sir. All right, sir. I want them to come to you. Are you ready for the answer?
I'll just be in the dorm, and I've got, and then I'm tied up on a very important phone call, and I'll be about 5 minutes.
All right, sir.
The other one is no, and where that stands, I don't know if you saw the post this morning, but he obviously put out, there's a post front page, and saying next to Keith Go, and a picture of Go, and a byline story that says that it gives all the details of Dole met with the president phone, there should be a change in the committee, that Dole said, well, I've heard his situation in Kansas, and the president said, oh, well, fine, then you can stay on as long as you feel you'd like to, and Dole probably will leave sometime in the spring or summer, but it's now clear that that option is up to him. Now,
that is unbelievable.
I couldn't agree with you more. But that's what's said. Now,
that's it. He's going on the 20th. We're going to build the fire.
No, it's already done. It's
what happened.
I talked to Dole, as I told you yesterday. He must have logged this out before I talked to him. Told him the Bush thing was set. All right. He talked with Mitchell, and in the Mitchell meeting, John said there's no problem with him on the timing. The only thing now is to work out the format, you know, so that he puts it into parlay in the right way. He is meeting with Bush this morning.
He thought it was Kansas ocean, sir.
Yeah.
He may lose his election.
The guy is so stupid, it's beyond belief. I mean, he played it 180 degrees the wrong way. And he said, they got a quote in it. He said, well, I don't know whether I'm going to a hanging or a coronation. And as he made his ritual trip to the mountaintop. I mean, it's
not bad, too. That's all right. That's right. He's hurt himself so badly, it's unbelievable. But go ahead, what's next?
It doesn't really hurt us, does it?
Go ahead, what's next?
Bush is meeting with him right now.
And you told Bush a hard line.
Absolutely, and Bush totally agrees. He's a pleasure to work with.
Yeah.
He said, I see your point. He said, I can cover that very easily. The Middle East has got to be, because of that, we've got to have this thing settled now because we're going to something that...
And now there's got to be made, and I got a point, Scott.
There's a security council in Peru or something thing that has to be done.
Right.
By
Panama.
Right. That has to be settled by we have to know by January. I've got to get the other man up here. And Bush said, tell me for my own guidance, is there a need to make a move because you have to put someone else in? And I said, no, George, there's not. But there is a need to make a move in order to get the whole thing set.
That's right.
I think we've got to play it totally straight with George.
That's right, George said.
And he said, fine, that's all I want to know. He said, if there's a move on the other way, if you've got a cycle you've got to set up, that's fine too. I said, there is no cycle. There is I didn't raise the replacement. I said, the replacement thing, we've got ready to move. We can go
ahead and meet that Dole took it all right and so forth. What is he, what?
Mitchell said that there was no, Mitchell didn't know about this Washington Post story. And he said, Dole obviously understands.
To show you guys that Dole was also one of our leaders.
No question.
Washington Post is the other. Go ahead.
But that he, Dole understands he's got to go. There's no problem on the timing now. He understands that.
When you talk to Dole about Bush, did it shock him?
I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
He was in New York. I talked to him on the phone. I couldn't tell whether it did.
What you did it, though, was that this is great. It's
great.
And all that.
Absolutely.
He lifted up.
Oh, sure. I, you know, went all the way and looking up. And he said, that is great. And that's exactly what we need there. And, Bush said, he said, well, I told him about that because I wanted him to understand what he was dealing with.
Yes.
So obviously what Dole's trying to hang on to is the rent on his apartment, which he said, you mean the committee pays that? And I said, well, apparently so, because he said he has at least $1 million or something. And it's loose.
And $300,000 to raise for his campaign.
I didn't mention that. I didn't mention it to Mitchell, and I said, if you get into anything there, just make it clear to Dole that the help in his campaign financing, the European trip and all that, are contingent on this being done right.
That's right.
They are not payoffs after. I understand now. For that, well, Bush kind of laughed. He said, well, that explains. He said, I couldn't understand when the president mentioned to me about a limousine and all. He said, I hope he understands. I couldn't care less about a goddamn car. And I said,
there's only a few guys that doesn't care about the car. And Ehrlich thought, thinks everybody cares about a car. He told me, and I said, that's bullshit. You know, they can't.
Little people do.
That's right. That's probably part of Peterson's problem.
He's sure, physically a little bit. Well, I didn't mean little physically. I meant little mentally, philosophically.
But anyway, that's a little bit. But you'll be calm now.
This is unbelievable.
God, we didn't live in the...
But George is going to be... He's excited about the job. He's positive.
Well, he told me that the market thinks about us.
So I got to get out of here. So that's it. We got to get him out so I can get started.
That's right. Now, you know, I want to appreciate George made.
That's what I told George. Those are going to come up to you by next Wednesday,
right,
and say...
I've got a little Wednesday.
Yes. So go ahead and say, I told you.